Thank you all for being here. I'm happy to have this opportunity to say something on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our disciple succession, and also to hear from Krishna. Because actually, even if we're speaking, what we're doing is trying to hear from Krishna anyhow. We can't do anything or say anything without Krishna's blessings. And if we're repeating Krishna's words, in order to do that, we have to hear from Krishna either in the Bhagavad Gita or in our heart, hopefully both. Because actually, to hear Bhagavad Gita means we have to hear from Krishna within the heart, has to give us the ability to hear Bhagavad Gita. As much as he gives us that ability, to that degree, we can actually hear the Bhagavad Gita. And if we hear the Bhagavad Gita, then the result is that we can understand what Krishna wants us to do. And if we understand what Krishna wants us to do, and we actually do what Krishna wants us to do, then Krishna blesses us and we become ecstatic, we feel transcendental pleasure. And the result of that is that we can hear from Krishna a little bit better. We want to hear from Krishna a little bit more, and we can hear a little bit better, so the next time we hear, we can understand a little bit more what Krishna is telling us. So this process goes on, actually goes on eternally. If we really want to make spiritual progress, the best place to do is to go back to the spiritual world. Everyone there is making very good spiritual progress. And here, in this temple, amongst the devotees, we also have the same opportunity to make progress in the same way that they do in the spiritual world, beginning with hearing about Krishna. So I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation. Text 57. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matparaha buddhiyogam upashitya matshitak sadatam bhava. In all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And Srila Prabhupada's purport, when one acts in Krishna consciousness, he does not act as the master of the world, but just like a servant, one acts fully under the direction of the Supreme Master, the Supreme Lord. A servant has no independent existence, no individual independence. He acts only on the order of the Master. A servant acting on behalf of the Supreme Master is unaffected by profit and loss. He simply discharges his duty faithfully in terms of the order of the Lord. Now, one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna. Well, when Krishna is not present, how should I act? If one acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. The word, Sanskrit word madparaha, is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while acting in that way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through disciple succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So the verse again is Chaitasa Sarva Karmani Mai Sanyasya Matraha Buryogam Upashitya Machitak Satatam Bhava. And all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, and such devotional service be fully conscious of me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya Desatarane. This verse is a formula for our progress in devotional service. Bhagavad Gita has generally three themes known as Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Practically the whole existence that we have is based on those three things also, whether it's spiritual or material. Sambandha means to gather in information. Abhideya means to act according to that information. And Prayojana means to experience what's the result of that information. That is to realize what it's talking about. So our aim is to become conscious of Krishna. That is, ultimately, to revive our spiritual existence and go back to be with Krishna, either here in this material world or in the spiritual world. And it's all quite simple, but because we're under the three modes of material nature, things that are simple appear to be very complicated. Because that's the function of the three modes, is to make simple things complicated. So we have to gradually bring the complicated things inside so that they become simple. And the simple philosophy, all the philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is summarized here under the Sambandha, or the knowledge that everything here belongs to Krishna. That means everyone here also belongs to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. You all belong to Krishna. We all belong. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything in this room belongs to Krishna. So that doesn't leave a whole lot for ourselves. For some, that's quite disappointing. For some, they hear that, and that's enough to just get up and leave. Thanks a lot. You have another new philosophy. I'll come next time to hear what it is. But that philosophy, forget it. It's not what I came here to hear. And of course, the amazing thing about the material energy is that even though we hear it, we don't hear it. Sounds good. That sounds like our philosophy. It's not my philosophy, but it sounds like Krishna's philosophy. But for all of us who are practicing Krishna consciousness, and I think it's most of us here, that this philosophy is accepted to some degree, and it's not accepted. Therefore, we're on a process, or taking to a process to gradually accept this. And how to accept it? Srila Rupa Goswami said, sometimes people, they just give up everything. And they go into the forest or into the Himalayas and they meditate, trying to give up, trying to forget about Facebook, the internet. They just go there and they battle out with their mind. How many friends did I have? How many did I lose by coming up here? Did they close my account? So one may try to renounce the material world, but Prabhupada gives that the example of going to the Bank of America and declaring to everyone present, my dear Bank of America, employees, I renounce the whole bank. You can have it all back. Of course, all the Bank of America employees, especially the manager, will come and offer obeisances to you. Oh, you're so generous. No, more likely they'll call the police and people with white coats will come and take you away. All by the mercy of Bank of America. So similarly, we may try to renounce things in the material world, but if we didn't have anything to begin with, then there's nothing to renounce except for illusion. And that illusion is that these things that we think belong to us, actually, they don't actually belong to us. So that's called illusion, including our body, which we are quite aware of. If we're aware of anything, we're aware of our body and our activities, and we have a tendency, and indeed our existence in conditioned life is based on the assumption that we're doing things by ourselves and that we're actually part of the material energy. So that's difficult to give up that conception, and just by talking about it theoretically, it helps a little bit, but not very much. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has told us, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. The platform by which we can practically work on is called Yukta Vairagya. That is, we have a material body, we have different assets, whether it be our family, or our bank balance, or our different computers, or cars, or houses. We have material assets, and if we try to utilize them in Krishna's service, the happy result will be that we stop thinking that these belong to me. That would be the best result. By using things in Krishna's service, then gradually we understand they're actually Krishna's, and I'm also Krishna's. And that when things are utilized in Krishna's service, then they help everyone else understand that everything belongs to Krishna, including themselves. And that by belonging to Krishna, the happy result is that we get Krishna. If we think we belong to Krishna, then Krishna thinks he belongs to us. It's quite a deal. The 1/10,000th size of Tipiharan size soul gets to control the whole control of all the material and spiritual universes. So that's quite a fair exchange. It's like giving 5 cents and getting exchange $500 trillion. Most people would be willing to make that exchange. But in order to do it, we require some understanding. So Krishna begins the understanding in the Bhagavad Gita that our bodies are always changing. Now, if anyone doesn't think that their body is always changing, that's why our parents took little photos of our little baby body. So you can go back and look at it, and it'll give us a realization immediately that our body has changed. Now, we ourselves, we may not remember being a little baby, but our parents do. And now we have this body, and we've had so many bodies, but in spite of all the different changes of our body, we're still here. We're still experiencing. We experience our 15-year-old body. We've experienced our body yesterday. We're experiencing this body. We'll experience some other body tomorrow. But we, the experiencer, are not changing. But what we're experiencing is always changing. Now the question is, what do we want to experience? Generally, most people in the material world, they want to experience that they're progressing, that they're making progress, that they're getting more wealth, they're getting more fame, they're getting more comfort, they're getting something, or if they're sick, they're getting free from the sickness, or if they're old, they're growing somehow or another, they're looking younger. They can't grow younger, but they can look younger. So everyone is trying to make progress either to avoid the negative or to get the positive, something positive. But Krishna from the very beginning explains that actually we're not the body. And therefore actual progress is progress of ourselves, but our progress of ourselves to begin with means progress of understanding that we're not the body. Now why would someone not want to be their body? As I've said in many lectures, everyone loves their body. Matter of fact, there's nothing in the world that we like better than our body. We wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And of course, without a doubt, everyone who looks in the mirror and asks the question gets an answer, a similar answer, that my dear fortunate soul, so many pious activities you performed in order to get darshan of the deity in the mirror. Now, as you've said in the Bhagavad Gita, now you have to surrender. You have to render unalloyed, uninterrupted service to that deity you see in the mirror. And our hearts, our minds are enlivened, our hearts are jumping with joy. Now I get a chance to serve the deity. So, if we're a little pious, we perform Abhishek by taking a shower. We clothe the deity in different ornaments for our devotees so they can see how beautiful the deity is. So that will encourage their surrender so they can make progress in worshiping our deity. And then we dress, we put perfume or cologne on the deity to enliven our devotees. We offer the deity five kinds of foodstuffs. And then we go out on Sankirtan to spread the glories of the deity all over the world. So everyone is a worshiper of a deity. Now the question is, which deity do we actually want to worship? We want to worship a deity which is going to bring about our misery. Are we going to struggle to get a little happiness for the deity, hoping that we'll, as Krishna says, if you water the root of the tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. So we think if we water the root of our tree, our tongue, our belly, our genitals, our mind, our anger, our words, then the happiness will rain upon myself. And without becoming conscious of Krishna, then of course, it's not, we have no alternative. We have no other way of working except to serve this gross and subtle body. But when we introduce Krishna conscious philosophy, beginning with the fact that this body, whatever we think is ourselves, is always changing, and therefore, although we may have served our body very nicely yesterday, but it doesn't acknowledge our service. No one is, as it says, kamadi nam katida palitas dorni deshas, no one gets retirement from serving their body. This body will have to serve, or some form of this body will have to serve from the beginning to the end. There's no retirement. There's no day off. It's not that yesterday we ate so much and our body says, oh, you've eaten so nicely yesterday. Why don't you take a break for a few weeks? Yes, you slept so nicely. Why don't you just, you can have a break. You don't have to sleep for the next couple of days. Now the body says, you rascal. You ate nicely, but your neighbor ate twice as well as you did. You don't love me. I can tell. No service. If you don't please the deity, you know where you're going to go. The alternative is to understand that we're not this body, but that's only the beginning. The next part of it is that this body, which we think are ourselves, is actually not ourselves. Nor are we the controller. That Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's making all arrangements for us in order to help us realize who we are and who we're not. In the beginning, we're trying to figure out more what we're not than who we actually are. Because if we have too much faith in our material existence, it's very hard to give it up, especially in Kali Yuga. Everyone is promising progress. Everyone is promising that if you buy this product, then you're going to become perfect. Like, I study a lot about health, and there is, every day I get in my email, at least 15 different companies offering me the solution to all the problems, so that I'm going to live practically forever. That is maybe 90 years, which for them is practically forever. And they all say different things. And if you wanted to work on your health to live for 90 years, you'd have to spend 90 years to do it. That would be a whole meditation, day and night, how to live until 90 years. And by the time you got to 90 years, you would be praying that you didn't have to live a year longer. In any case, if we understand everything belongs to Krishna, then the next stage, after hearing that, is to find out, how do I experience my real identity? How do I experience I'm actually a soul, that I'm not part of this body? So we're inviting people to come and hear, but what purpose? So they can do something. Just like here we're chanting Hare Krishna, there's a festival of the holy name. So we want to give people something practical to do. What does Krishna want us to do with his energy? We've been arrested by the material energy, put into this prison, which we call a material body, which we think is our deity, but actually it's a prison. And because we're in prison, therefore we're being chastised by the material nature. But the material nature is not chastising us because it has nothing better to do. It's chastising us so that we can become honest citizens. Unfortunately, most people don't want to become honest citizens. They want to become expert crooks. Just like a band of thieves, they rob a bank, and all the thieves, they go to their hideout. And the head thief stands up and says, "My dear fellow thieves, you did a great job robbing the bank. All glories to the thieves." 1, 2, 3. All glories to the thieves. Thieves key. Really? So the head thief says, "My dear fellow thieves, now that you've stolen all this money, please, please, I beg of you, in the name of Krishna, I want you all to do one thing. Please, let us divide this money up honestly." So they're a bunch of thieves. They've just stolen from the bank. And now they're trying to figure out how they can become honest thieves. So similarly, we've come to the material world. We're imagining that we've stolen from Krishna. We're living a life, more or less, of criminals. We can't actually steal from Krishna, but Maya is so powerful, just by our desire to want to be something other than who we are, to do something other than what we're supposed to do, then Maya puts us into illusion. So that's our being imprisoned by our gross and subtle material bodies. So now we have to change that. We have to do what Krishna wants us to do. So Krishna has made it very easy in this age. He simply asks us to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the easy part. Now comes the difficult part. We actually have to mean it. First of all, we have to understand what it means, and then we have to actually be serious about wanting to engage in Krishna's loving service. So it's very hard to love Krishna when we're trying to compete against him. Therefore, we have to practice what's called sadhana bhakti. So in the beginning, we're trying to be encouraged to practice regular sadhana bhakti because it is, practically speaking, impossible to just give up our material conceptions. We just can't walk out of our body one day and think, well, let me just walk back to Goloka Vrindavan. No, we have to get Krishna's mercy. And you know, Krishna wants to give us his mercy, but we have to deserve it. Otherwise, if we went back to the spiritual world with our present mentality, we would have a very strange experience. We think, why is everyone talking about Krishna all the time? Don't they realize what I'm doing here? Don't I get any credit? So we have to practice sadhana bhakti. And in order to practice sadhana bhakti, we have to hear from Krishna's representatives how to do it. And not only how to do it externally, mechanically, but we learn the philosophy of actually meaning it. And to mean it means we have to engage our energies as much as possible in Krishna's service. So Srila Prabhupada used to say it was like the ISKCON sandwich. The ISKCON sandwich is that we hear about Krishna in the morning, and that doesn't mean that only the devotees who are living in the temple can hear about Krishna, and Krishna can't be heard outside the temple. Practically speaking, it means what Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita on behalf of Krishna, that families should sit down morning and evening and hear and chant about Krishna and worship the deity with the family. That's what household life is meant for. And in the evening also. And during the day, one can work for Krishna. For those living in the preaching movement who have the service of preaching or assisting the preaching or worshiping the deity, they can serve Krishna during the day in that service. Or if one is outside working, then one can work and bring the money home and use that money to make the house into a temple of Krishna, for Krishna, and donate some money to the spreading of Krishna consciousness. That's as good as directly serving in the temple. And what would be the result? The result, if we absorb our lives as much as possible in following the directions of Krishna, then when we chant Hare Krishna, we'll actually be receptive to the holy name. Being receptive to the holy name means we'll actually develop the mood, to begin with, of humility. In the spiritual world, it's very hard to understand their mood, but it's of absolute humility. Everyone is 100% appreciative of everyone else. And everyone else thinks everyone else is unlimitedly wonderful and is anxious to love them and serve them. So that doesn't mean just the souls who are serving Radha and Krishna. Even Radha and Krishna, they feel unlimitedly and appreciative and desirous of serving their servants. So if we went back to the spiritual world and thought, well, I certainly deserve to be here, you know. I've done so much service, I can't believe it. I mean, even Krishna in the liturgy said he can't repay me, but that's what I'm here for. I should get repaid. No, everyone in the spiritual world thinks, actually, it's unbelievable that I have this opportunity to serve Krishna and his devotees. I'm so appreciative. I'm just hankering for the time when they accept me as their menial servant. So that mood we have to develop here, that we have, by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives, coming from our acharyas and disciples' succession, and every moment we have this wonderful opportunity to do something to please Krishna, something to please Krishna under the guidance of his pure devotees, of his pure representatives, and to learn the mood that they have, this mood of absolutely appreciating this opportunity to serve the most wonderful Krishna and his most wonderful devotees. So that means, if some people may think that, well, that's just illusion. Well, that's the best illusion you can be under. That's spiritual illusion. To be able to see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. Spiritual illusion, in the sense, it's under the yoga maya. Yoga maya means, yoga maya can turn the most insignificant thing in relation to Krishna into the most wonderful thing. The most insignificant service that someone does, yoga maya can transform it in our heart to unlimitedly appreciative, to be unlimitedly appreciative of that service, and to develop unlimited love for even the most insignificant devotee, even the most insignificant service, and make our lives simply joyful, full of love and appreciation. And give us absolute discrimination as a representative of Krishna, what to do to increase everyone's love for Krishna, everyone's desire to obtain Krishna. So that may take unlimitedly, well, it's full of variety. Just like Srila Prabhupada, his service was certainly not regimented. It certainly wasn't mechanical, it certainly wasn't predictable. At every moment, Krishna gave him the intelligence how to fan the heart of any conditioned soul who came to him, or any soul that came to him, how to increase their understanding and love for Krishna. Sometimes that took the form of his chanting and giving unlimited happiness to the persons who had the good fortune of associating with him, or those who have the good fortune of remembering him. Just like one time I was in Boston in 1969, and Srila Prabhupada came there, and I remember Srila Prabhupada walked up the steps of the Boston Temple, and I still remember there's the same picture still in the Boston Temple, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his arms outstretched and the kirtan party in the back. And before Prabhupada walked up, we were doing a kirtan in the temple, and suddenly I felt that Lord Chaitanya was glowing. And then Srila Prabhupada walked up the steps and the whole temple became Vaikuntha. Not only for myself, but for everyone else in the temple. It was exactly the same as when Vidura, well, not exactly the same, but to the extent that I could experience Vaikuntha, when Vidura came back from pilgrimage and Maharaj Yudhisthira praised him for carrying Krishna within his heart and turning every place he visited into a place of pilgrimage. So Srila Prabhupada had that ability. And under the proper circumstances, those who were fortunate could experience the Vaikuntha atmosphere that he created just by his presence. Because wherever he went, he actually was carrying the spiritual world with him. And we can also do that. As a matter of fact, that's why Prabhupada came. He could have sat in Vrindavan and sat in the spiritual world there. But his spiritual master and our disciples' succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanted that this opportunity for everyone to carry Krishna within their heart be given. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada came to give us that opportunity. And that's why he wrote the books. That's why he preached. That's why he instructed his disciples and formed the ISKCON movement to give every conditioned soul at least the opportunity. The opportunity to hear about Krishna, to understand about Krishna, and to practice in the beginning sadhana bhakti. So this chanting of 16 rounds a day, or chanting japa, or seeing the deities, worshiping the deities, or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or associating with the devotees in the mood of service, or trying to create our homes into an atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere, or going out and preaching and creating a spiritual atmosphere by presenting Krishna to the innocent people in this world, or coming to the temple and participating in spiritual and enjoying the spiritual atmosphere in the temple and participating in increasing it. So this opportunity Prabhupada wanted to give us. So in the beginning, we're trying to hear what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So we should read Bhagavad Gita regularly. And more than just reading it, we should hear it again and again and again and again, so that we remember what it says. Why we want to remember what it says? So we can apply it within our lives. It's very hard to know what Krishna says, how to apply what Krishna says, if we don't hear it again and again. If we don't hear it so many times that we're actually seeing it. We're not just trying to hear it or memorize it. We're trying to actually see what Krishna says in a practical way so we can apply it within our lives. Then what will happen is that Krishna within our heart will remind us, if we want that memory, Krishna will remind us what we're supposed to do. And he'll tell us how to do it. Not only tell us, but he'll actually create our consciousness in such a way as we'll be able to do it in Krishna consciousness. Because without Krishna manifesting himself, how can we do anything in Krishna consciousness? It doesn't depend upon simply my desire, because it does depend upon my desire, but my desire is not sufficient. It means that with whatever desire I can manifest, then Krishna reciprocates and he manifests Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada writes two things, that one should act not only under the directions of Krishna, but all in this book, but also under the direction of the representatives of Krishna. So who are the representatives of Krishna? Sometimes we think, well, Srila Prabhupada is a representative of Krishna. Our acharyas are the representatives of Krishna. Certainly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciple succession, they're all representatives of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada once wrote to me in 1970. He said, thank you very much for this contribution of love. My contribution of love wasn't even my contribution. It was the temple's contribution. But Prabhupada was happy I didn't pocket the money for myself. I actually sent it to him. I was the treasurer, so I sent Prabhupada whatever money we collected for the little blue Bhagavad Gitas to him. So he said, thank you very much for this contribution of love, that we are all servants of Krishna working under consecutive disciple succession. So then he wrote to me, he continued, he said, please study all my books, and sometimes afterwards you'll have to help carry on the disciple succession. So that applies to all of us. Prabhupada wrote to me that letter a little after he wrote other letters telling everyone in our movement to study, or at least some of his senior devotees, to study his books, and if they did that, then after some time they'd become qualified to give initiation. So that applies to everyone. Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agai Guruhana Tari Desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered all of us to become Krishna conscious and give this Krishna consciousness to others. So the representatives of Krishna are those who are following the pure representatives of Krishna. They may not have the same realizations as their acharyas, such as Srila Prabhupada, but if they're following the instructions and repeating those instructions, then they're actually representatives of Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada created a movement which he himself became a servant of, so it is our obligation to also become a servant of what Prabhupada created. And those who are serving Prabhupada's instructions, that we should feel ourselves be a servant of them appropriately. Srila Rupa Goswami says, for those who are more elevated than us, who have more enthusiastic, more steady, more aware of what Krishna wants, we should follow the example and instructions. And for those who are on the same level of us, we should cooperate with them for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to serve Krishna in the temple, to serve his devotees, and make others into devotees. And to defeat, at least intellectually, those who are unaware or against Krishna. And the best way of defeating them is don't put energy into them. That's called upeksha. So, we're supposed to become pure devotees, and a pure devotee, even though someone may not be so advanced in devotional service, still, we respect them within the mind. The worst poison for a devotee, for anyone actually, is to criticize a devotee. That doesn't mean we end our discrimination, but we utilize our discrimination to appreciate whatever someone can do in devotional service, but to understand what our limits are and how we might become affected by someone else's not-so-devotional behavior, and therefore we respect them from a distance. We don't try to intimately associate with them in the six loving exchanges, but we respect the fact that they're participating in Krishna consciousness. And we understand that ultimately we're their servants, but we can best serve them from a distance. Because ultimately we have to connect ourselves with the pure devotees and do as they would want us to do. We have to serve everyone, but we have to serve everyone as the pure devotee would want us to do. Therefore, we have to take shelter of Prabhupada's books and his representatives who are helping us to understand Prabhupada's books and also apply them practically. And what is that practical? That one should have no goal in life, save and accept to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. In other words, Prabhupada says, this word matparha is very important in this verse, that one should have no goal in life, save and accept, to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So that's what we really want. We want to become conscious of Krishna. After all, Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, is the reservoir of beauty and all good qualities. We want to become actually aware of him, because then we'll always be ecstatic and we'll always be in bliss. We'll be in the spiritual world. And that's the best way of spreading Krishna consciousness, is to bring the spiritual world wherever we are. So one should think, I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. So when we pick up our bead bag, we should think that, why am I picking up my bead bag? Not just to look at my counter beads and hope that they're going to go down as quickly as possible. That's not why we're picking up our bead bag. We shake our bead bag and a few of the counter beads fall down. We think, wow, that was an easy one. No, we're doing it because Krishna wants us to do it. And Krishna's representatives have told us they want us to do it. And the reason why I'm doing it, I have no goal in doing this, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So what will be our reward to thinking like that? We may not become famous. We may not become wealthy. Nothing in the material world positive may happen to us. We might even get some negative reactions. I remember the first time I went home. I went home for my sister's wedding. My parents didn't know I was a devotee. As a matter of fact, they didn't even know what a devotee was, what to speak of the fact that I was one of them. They're, practically speaking, they didn't exist. Practically, you'd have to look for a little small corner in New York to find them. In any case, I appeared in my dhoti and tilak and shaven head, and my parents looked at me and said, "You can't be in here like that." So he said, "No problem." And I just left. My parents caught me at the down with the elevator. They took the other elevator and they said, "Oh, at least for your sister's wedding, you can be here like that." And then I had no communication with them for 7 years. We were a little fanatic back then. And then they called me up one day and said, you know, if they can come and see me. So that was nice. Then I saw them every year after that, at least once or twice a year. But one has to be, one can't expect that everyone's going to love you because you've become a devotee. And sometimes the most difficult thing is to give up our worldly association, to not be so much influenced by what other people are thinking. Everyone has a plan for us. And most of their plans are not bringing us back to Godhead. Therefore, if we follow everyone else's plan, we won't go back to Godhead. As a matter of fact, we won't know what the plan is because everyone has a different plan. I know some people, everyone they meet, they find out they have a different plan and they follow their plan. So one moment they're going this way, next moment they're going that way, and ultimately they're just going around in a circle, trying to please everyone. And the result is everyone criticizes them for going around in a circle. Or is that famous story, the boy and the man with the horse. So the boy and the man with the horse, they were going to the city. So the horse was walking behind. And so they walked through a village and everyone started to laugh at them. Here is a boy and a man and they have a horse and they're not even utilizing it. Such fools. So the man heard it and so he decided the next village they go through, he's going to ride on the horse. So they went through the village and everyone started to laugh at them. Just see this man. He's wearing the horse out and he's letting this boy walk. What kind of man is this? So hearing this criticism, in the next village, he put the boy on the horse and they walked through the village, and everyone started to criticize. Here's an old man, and this boy is so young. Why isn't he walking? Why does this old man have to walk? So then he decided, let's both ride on the horse. So the next village, they rode through the village, and everyone started to criticize. Here's a man and a boy, and they're wearing at the poor horse. Why don't they walk? So we try to please everyone, we'll wind up pleasing no one. Therefore, we have to find out what Krishna's order is coming through the disciples' succession. And with intelligence, we have to apply that so we do our service just to please Krishna. And what will be our reward is that we'll think about Krishna. that natural spontaneous thinking about Krishna is actually Krishna consciousness. One time I wrote to Srila Prabhupada and I asked him, because at that time I was, as soon as I joined the movement, I decided the first thing I was going to do, well, first of all, first thing I did when I joined the movement is argue with everyone. Because I thought I knew the whole, I knew the perfect philosophy. And then Prabhupada wrote me my initiation letter and told me I should try to cooperate with people. Actually, he told me I should try to take help from others. So then I decided I was going, when we got this little blue Bhagavad Gita, I decided I was going to memorize the blue Bhagavad Gita, which is quite easy because there's only verses, there was no purport. So I spent a couple of days and I memorized practically the whole Bhagavad Gita, in English at least. And then I thought, well, when we got the Krishna book, let me memorize the Krishna book, at least some of the stories. Because I thought, when I'm chanting japa, it's so boring, just chanting these names. But if I can chant japa and spend two hours remembering the pastimes of Krishna, that would be quite exciting. That would be quite interesting. So I chant my japa and I remember the pastimes of Krishna. So I thought, wow, I'm really elevated. I can't believe it. So I thought I'd write to Prabhupada and get his acclaim also, at least his sanction to do what I was doing. So I was expecting some letter back, like, you know, dear Prahladananda, I'm very happy you're remembering Krishna all the time. You know, maybe you should teach this technique to everyone else. So Prabhupada wrote me back, and in the letter he said, as far as, you know, chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes when you're chanting japa, he said, that's not, that you shouldn't do that. I said, what? He said, no, we just, our process is chant and hear. And if Krishna's pastimes come spontaneously, that's very nice, but not that we're artificially trying to remember. So there's a process of remembering Krishna spontaneously. And it's not by artificially trying to remember him once in a while. And especially during japa, it's not bad to remember Krishna. It's not that Krishna comes to our mind, we say, get out, Prabhupada told me you're not supposed to be here. Please leave. I'm committing offense against my spiritual master. No, Prabhupada said we have to act in such a way spontaneously we remember Krishna. Otherwise, why is it not good to remember Krishna's pastimes artificially? It's just like if Krishna walked into this room and we were doing, you know, chanting. And we say, well, there he is, but I got to finish my rounds. Now, if Krishna is present, then we should honor Krishna. We should serve Krishna. What more do we want than Krishna being present? But Krishna is not going to be present unless we qualify ourselves as being his devoted servants. Not only doing what he wants us to do, but developing the proper attitude and submission and humility so that Krishna is pleased to reveal himself to us. So when we chant japa, or when we're doing any other service, it's not just a question of doing it, but trying to get some feedback so we can do it better. Just like if I tell a joke and everyone starts to cry, then that's really good feedback. I remember one time Tamil Krishna Maharaj, he asked me to go to the Philippines to help out a devotee there. So I went there. It wasn't just going there, it was for 6 months. He gave me a one-way ticket. He told me he was going to give me a return, but that was the one-way ticket there was easier than getting the return. In any case, I went there, and I gave my normal class. I tell a few jokes, and everyone looked at me like, what is he talking about? So after one class, I inquired, and they said, well, they have a different... They don't really like sarcasm. They don't know what sarcasm is here. So that was my last class saying any jokes. for at least 6 months. So we want feedback. So when we're chanting japa, for instance, or even when we're chanting, we have to see how am I chanting? How does it sound to us? How does it sound to us personally? If we're actually doing this to please Krishna, then how should it sound? Oh, Krishna. Oh, the energy of Krishna. I'm suffering so much. Please, don't let me suffer. You're God. If you're God, then you're going to make me, no. Or Krishna, my dear Krishna, all the energy of Krishna, oh Krishna, here's my shopping list. my birthday is coming up, but Or Krishna, my mind's agitated. You know why my mind's agitated? Why I can't hear you is because this devotee did this to me. Go get him. No, we have to chant and then listen and listen to ourselves chanting and see if we can improve our chanting. A little, just listening means that we have to pay attention, and then we have to see how sweetly, how lovingly, how feelingly, at least how enthusiastically we're chanting. Because in order to become conscious of Krishna, we have to become like Krishna. Our words have to become like Krishna. Our activities have to become like Krishna. Our desires have to become like Krishna. We have to become like Krishna. As Śrīla Prabhupāda said, if you want to enter into fire, you have to become just like fire. If you put the iron in the fire, then it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter until it takes on the same qualities as fire. So similarly, the most direct method is to chant Hare Krishna in a way that's just like Krishna. Krishna, the whole spiritual world, is just full of love and devotion. That's the only thing that's existing there. And endless varieties of emotion. So we have to hear and we have to try to duplicate. If we duplicate how Śrīla Prabhupāda is chanting, that's the best way of knowing. Of course, Prabhupāda's chanting is so profound. It's so deep. Sometimes, for me, it's almost inconceivable to actually hear what Prabhupāda's, how he's chanting. But Prabhupāda said he gave us like a child calling to his mother out of love. The child feels so much love for its mother that in separation from its mother, it cries. So we don't have to start crying, nor do we have to artificially try to feel separation. But if we chant very lovingly, enthusiastically, feelingly, try to do it the best we can, then the result should be that spontaneously we remember who we're chanting to. Whether it's Shri Shri Radha Kalachandri, or whether it's Śrīla Prabhupāda, or whether it's our disciple succession, or anything we read in one of Prabhupāda's books, or even a devotee who's inspiring us in Krishna consciousness, something we'll remember spontaneously that we want to engage in your loving service. And if we feel, one time Prabhupāda was asked, what should we do when we're chanting? Prabhupāda said, chant and try to feel Krishna's presence. It's not that our feelings have nothing to do with the chanting, but actually what we should do is chant so nicely and then try to feel Krishna's presence. That's the power of our imagination. When we use our imagination it's not exactly imagination in the sense that it doesn't exist, but when we hear and chant very nicely and then try to feel Krishna's presence, that Krishna will actually help us feel his presence. If the holy name is not different from Krishna and Krishna is there, he must have a presence. And we should try to feel Krishna's presence. Otherwise, what's the value of Krishna being there? How are we going to know that Krishna is there unless we feel his presence? Unless we become conscious of his presence. But if our minds are distracted by other things, then how can we feel his presence? So we chant very nicely, lovingly, and then try to feel Krishna's presence. The result is that we should remember Krishna. And that's called Krishna consciousness. Now, Prabhupada writes here that if we do something which is not in the realm of Krishna consciousness and then try to offer that to Krishna, that's not acceptable. That's one of the two themes in the Bhagavad Gita. One theme is we should do our duty, and the other thing is we should try to love Krishna and serve him. So if we do something that's not our duty, Krishna is not going to reciprocate with us. That's not in his interest. It's not in our interest that Krishna should encourage us to do things whimsically. So that sort of duty shouldn't be offered to Krishna because we won't get anything in return. And then we'll blame Krishna that I offered you so much and you didn't reciprocate. But Krishna is not going to reciprocate when we do things whimsically. He's only going to reciprocate when we do the right thing in the right mood. So that Prabhupada writes at the end here, that order of Krishna comes down through the disciple succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's success of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So it's not complicated. It's actually quite simple. That we have to learn how to serve Krishna with love and devotion, as he would like us to do. And Srila Prabhupada has given us a movement to do that in. And that movement has a purpose. To whoever we meet, to try to help them become Krishna conscious, to cooperate with the devotees in that movement in such a way as we realize the happy experience of loving the devotees and serving the devotees as Krishna's servant and becoming more and more pleasing to Krishna, becoming more and more conscious of Krishna because of that, and then going out. And for the innocent people that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come for, to act as his instrument to distribute that love for Krishna to others. Now, we're not going to save anyone except for ourselves. As I said before, in the mode of ignorance, we think we're the controllers. In the mode of passion, we think we're the enjoyers. And the mode of goodness, we think we're the saviors. We're none of those things. But at least if we act in goodness, we can realize that I can become an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the mercy of my spiritual master and Krishna and disciple succession, they're allowing me to be an instrument to spread this Krishna consciousness to whoever I meet. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be our disciple succession. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased with me. And that way, I'll act by Krishna's grace, he'll reveal himself to me. When he sees I'm simply trying to become the servant of his servant of his servant, an instrument for them, then Krishna will reveal himself, and then my life will become perfect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments?
Amazing class tomorrow. Agreed.
Any other comments? Any questions?
I think in lieu of questions, Maharaj, we're going to ask Rutadhar Goswami to sing for a little bit.
Okay, good.
We don't get this opportunity ever.
Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
His Holiness Pilatananda Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.